Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Not getting enough Triple M Footy? Or did you miss something and need to go back and have another listen? Get the Triple M NRL podcast. It's available right now on the Triple M NRL app.
This is it. From humble beginnings.
Who will rise above them all?
26 rounds of footy. One winner. One chance at immortality. For McDonald's, Triple M rocks the footy.
Great to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. Just an hour till kickoff. We are at the Sydney Cricket Ground. The Roosters taking on the Newcastle Knights. Gates have opened here. Crowd starting to build up. I'd love to see some people come along into the Sydney Cricket Ground. It looks terrific. It looks an absolute picture. Should be a great game of footy, as we said from the top, for the Roosters. I think it's the first time since round one that they have that really imposing spine back together. They'll be looking to get another win on the board. The Knights have lost their last couple. Kalyn Ponga is back. James Tedesco is back for the Roosters. Looks terrific. Sterlo will join us in about half an hour. We'll get his take on that. And everything else that has happened throughout the week. I know you're our golf expert here, Wendell Saylor. Have you been watching any of the British Open?
I've been watching a few highlights. I see Cameron Smith doing okay.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods missed a cut. Rory McIlroy, oh, yeah.
He was four over after the first hole, which is a score I can relate to.
Yeah. but you know what's funny? Out of all the majors, it's the one that I sort of don't like for some reason.
Yeah. You don't like a windswept Northern Irish links course.
No, but I mean, you know, you look at the Masters and the PGA and that, but yeah, but look, I respect what the guys do, but I think David Dovell, he had 15 on one hole.
Yeah, he did. I'm better than him on that hole. Right now, though, it is time for This Man and This.
Reedy's Mail.
Reedy, hello and welcome, my friend.
How are we?
Well, very well. It's nice to be sitting up here in the stands overlooking the beautiful Sydney Cricket Ground, looking forward to a great game of footy.
You can see the ants when they play, Tony.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, plenty of noise around Mark Coyne and his escapade in Singapore. What is the latest?
Yeah, look, obviously Peter Beattie's not back in town until August 29. He's holidaying in the Kimberleys at the moment, Peter Beattie, so he's out of range, really. But he comes back on the July 29th, and they'll have that meeting that week with him. It's really interesting, right? I've done a bit of digging around the ARL Commission, how it works. Now, they can't actually sack him. The ARL Commission can't sack a commissioner. Only the clubs and states can sack a commissioner. They can obviously mark and tender his resignation. They can accept it. But they can't go to a meeting together and say, sorry, Mark, you got to go, and you're sacked. If that comes down to the clubs and the states do it. I don't think they want to do it. I think there's enough numbers there, and he's got enough allies there that they don't want to sack Mark Coyne. I think they prefer not to do it because they think he's added real value to the commission since he's joined it, and he's a highly respected sort of member of the rugby league community. So I sense they don't want to do it. I think they may consider asking him to step away for a while, much like a player. When a player misbehaves off the field, they get, you know, a 5, 6, 7, 8 game suspension. It might be that he gets asked to move away from the commission for 2 or 3 months, and pays some form of penalty in that way. But I don't think they want to sack him. But obviously, if there's enough clubs that want to get rid of him, he may be left with no choice in the end. But as I said, I think he's really highly thought of within the commission. They love what he's brought since he's come to the commission. I don't know how he can survive, but I get the sense they'd like to keep him around, to be honest.
The thing that, about it is, I guess there's two sides, but one, the crime, if we can call it that, which is basically the abuse and the language to the Singaporean police, which is, you know, and he admits he'd had a few too many and he's made a huge mistake. Now, that can be forgiven. I guess that one of the structural things that's a problem is that the idea of self-reporting and doing that immediately is what he didn't do, and many people then see that as a greater kind of conflict.
And I can understand that, and I've seen his explanation for that, that basically didn't want to get out and becoming a media storm over there because it would have hurt him. And to me, that really reflects on the commission. If he didn't have the faith that he could tell members of the commission it would stay a secret, that tells you a little bit about what he thinks of the commissioner's ability to keep secret. Because, you know, he could have easily just rung Peter Beattie and said, mate, this can't get out, but this is what's happening. And apparently he hasn't done that. So to me, that suggests that maybe he didn't have faith in the commission to keep it a secret, which is a concern in itself, really. Yeah, go on, Mark.
What's his actual job? CEO, what job is it?
He's a CEO of a big insurance company, I believe.
Yeah,
it's a big it's a pretty significant job, but I'm not sure what impact it's had there.
I was going to say, is he under the pump there a little bit too, or, you know?
Well, I suspect he's probably under the pump, but I haven't heard any word that he's lost that job. I think he's kept it. So, you know, obviously I've focused on the rugby league side of things. I haven't really made any calls to the insurance companies involved with, but, you know, obviously they wouldn't have been happy about it, I imagine, but I think he's the CEO of that company, so Buck ultimately stops with
Hey, Reedy, you must have known that if he told the commissioners, one of them would have leaked it to you. You're pretty tight with every single one of them, aren't you?
Then. I wish I had that contact. No.
Oh, please.
Come on, Em. You know. Obviously, he was a bit concerned about it. You know, and I guess rugby league has a history of leaking, so I can probably understand.
It's hard to blame you for that, Reedy.
Well, you would have thought one or two of them.
He's only been in there for a short time. He probably hasn't, you know, been in there long enough to, you know, build those relationships yet. But I just reckon, you know, if he's been doing a good job in there, Reedy, and the clubs are happy with him, and I like the fact that obviously he's got the commercial experience there as a CEO of a big multinational, and he's also got a lot of experience in the game. I think people like that, you know, staying involved in our game, are priceless. There's not enough of them, and that doesn't excuse what he does, but I think we need to, you know, have the foresight to move past that, and obviously, you know, there needs to be some sort of punishment, as you said, you know, handed down to Mark, but if he's a valued member of the commission, I think, you know, we just need to.
Yeah, he's been a man of integrity for a long time, Mark.
Exactly. Coyne,
and this is something that is very much out of character for him. Mm. So I err on that side too. Perhaps it's something that we could get past if a suspension needs to be served. Yeah. We'll see. Mm. All right. What about the Warriors? Who are they looking at?
They've been actually attacking the Broncos. They went after Matt Lodge, they went after Tevita Pangai, and now they're after Jake Turpin. They made a big offer to Jake Turpin. He's off contract at the end of the year. He's yet to do a deal with Brisbane, but the Warriors have come in really big for Jake Turpin. Look, I think the Broncos are pretty optimistic they'll keep him. He's been a really valuable player for them this year. You know, he's obviously now playing in the Haas with all the injury problems they got. He's been outstanding at hooker. One of those blokes I think every club needs. And the Broncos are pretty confident they'll keep him. But, you know, it's interesting. The Warriors have had a go at, as I said, Lodge, Pangai, now Turpin. And they've made the Broncos probably up the ante a bit with those guys, pay more than they thought they'd have to pay for them. I wonder whether they're plotting long-term to maybe go after someone else at the Broncos, and they're thinking that if we keep pushing the price up on these other guys, it might actually free up a player down the track that we can have a shot at.
Okay, well, we spoke with Anthony Seibold a little bit earlier, and he was fairly confident about Jake Turpin.
Yeah, he said
around. They're
pretty far down the line with that one, and he said it might take a little bit longer for Alex Glenn, but he's almost there with Jake Turpin, and he said he's really confident. He's actually one of his favourites of all the young ones, he said.
Yeah. So it's really interesting. The Warriors have forced them probably to pay over the odds for three blokes now.
Yeah.
And at some point, that's probably going to cost the Broncos a different player, not one of those three, but a different player.
All right, well, let's head a little bit south from Brisbane to the troubled area in the Gold Coast. What about AJ Brimson?
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about Jai Arrow on this show and the need for the Titans to keep Jai Arrow. And obviously, the news came out this week. They've made a big play for him, multi-million-dollar play to keep Jai Arrow. AJ Brimson's the other bloke we've spoken about that they need to keep now. There's four or five clubs outside the Titans keeping a close eye on AJ Brimson. They're very keen on him. As I understand it, the Titans haven't made a move on AJ yet. He's got another year left in his deal. But obviously, on November 1, he's a free agent. He can get offers from elsewhere. As I said, the Titans are really focusing on Jai Arrow at the moment, but they want to be careful. If they haven't got AJ Brimson locked up come November 1, there's about four or five clubs that are ready to jump on him. So another challenge the Titans are facing, I guess a challenge for whoever the new coach is at that club.
All right, Brent Reed, as always, great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
No worries. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, Reedy.
You can hear him on Triple M. Of course, you can read him in The Australian.
That's where Mal for the Titans is so important at the moment, because they don't have that interim coach. They don't have really any idea of who that coach is going to be next year. And if you've got players of that sort of calibre coming off contract, Mal's the man that can tie him down to a longer term at the moment when you don't have all those things in place. That could be a real benefit.
Yep.
Tony, can we just get Gerds to explain what he's doing with his pen?
Well, I'm riding with it, Emma.
It looks like this a wand from Harry Potter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I found this little bit of duct tape, and I rolled it into something that I could put on the end of it, and now I'm touching
now
things with it, Emma.
Pointing it at me.
I'm pointing it at you. Yes, I am.
You're a child.
Yes.
You are very, very childish. Yeah. Sterlo will join us
only an hour to go.
Very shortly. We'll also look at the top up winner and just throw it at these guys. Who are the contenders? Who are the pretenders? All ahead of kickoff. The Roosters taking on the Knights right here at the beautiful Sydney Cricket Ground. Saturday, Triple M NRL. Triple M rocking the footy. Right here at the Sydney Cricket Ground, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence, my name is Tony Squires. Peter Sterling will stride purposefully towards us very, very shortly. The Storm, Rabbitohs, Raiders, Roosters, Seagulls, Eels, Panthers and Knights at the moment. There's your eight, the Warriors at nine, the Broncos at ten. Now, we can have a look if you want to go all the way through to ten, think that maybe there's maybe some moves into that. But what I'm trying to find out is if from that group, who are contenders? Who are pretenders? Let's start from the
Broncos. Let me just say, Tony, yes. Overall, if we go into the finals this year with that top eight, it'll be one of the best final series of all time on current form. I will say that.
Beautiful. All right. Okay. So,
because I'm going to say that everyone in the top eight potentially could win the premiership.
So you just in one fell swoop,
you've got all contenders. I'm going to have lunch now.
The Eels can't win the comp.
I don't think the Eels
can. The Eels can't.
Yeah.
All right, let's start with the Knights.
Yeah. Did you...
You're saying the Knights are contenders, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you, Wendell Saylor?
Yeah, look, I think they've got, especially with Kalen Ponga there, they certainly, and Mitchell Pearce, they've got a solid forward pack, so yeah.
They're contenders for the premiership, not just for the eight, for the premiership.
Yeah, okay. For sure, yeah.
Emma Lawrence?
I think they're contenders. I wouldn't put my money on them, but, you know.
Yep. Oh, you're going to have to be more defensive.
Well, that's on the fence.
Well, no, okay, yes.
Are they in the comp, can't they?
They can, but there's more chance that Melbourne's going to win the comp, wouldn't you say?
Okay. Yes, I would.
That's so insightful
Panthers,
of me.
Are the Panthers fans, are they buying tickets for the grand final or are they not, Ryan Girdler?
They can win it.
Oh, I don't think you said that before.
When did I get asked that question?
Oh, fair.
Did I?
Oh, yes.
That's a lie.
That's
a lie.
I don't know what she's doing to you, mate.
I don't either. Yeah.
I think if the Panthers play the way they are at the moment, they've got to up the ante a bit to beat the teams like the Storm and the Rabbitohs.
That's a good point.
But they're certainly in the mix, and I think they can win it.
You're right. They got some real youth in some key positions. James Maloney, obviously, is going to play a big part in that. But momentum, is a massive thing coming into the finals, and if they get it, I mean, they've got it now, and who wouldn't they challenge at the moment? They've beaten the Roosters, they've beaten the Rabbitohs, and that was obviously during the Origin period, but still, they've been able to, win seven in a row, and I think a big challenge for them will be this week, the Raiders as well, but who knows?
All right. What about six at the moment, the Eels? You say they can't win it.
I don't think they can win it. They're too hot and cold for me. And
I saw enough in them last week, Tony. I went there to watch that West Tigers game, and I really thought the West Tigers, after that performance the week earlier against the Roosters, would stick it to the Eels, because the Eels have been that side that met up and down all year. I saw them cruise to victory against a West Tigers side last week that had Benji Marshall playing his 300th game and a very emotional game, and they did it in second gear. So that tells me that on their day, and especially with the two Browns back in their side, they can challenge anyone, and they're a real danger. And I reckon there'll be some sides looking over at their shoulders at the Eels and their form at the moment.
Emma?
I don't think the Eels can win the comp. I just think, last week, you're right, they were solid last week, but I don't think the Tigers threw that much at them, really.
Tigers are terrible.
And they're just so, I just think they're just too up and down.
Ridiculously good story for the Sea Eagles, what Des Hasler's managed to do. Here they are, sitting in fifth spot after all the troubles. Can they miraculously go all the way?
I don't think yet. I think that they can win the comp in the next year or two. I think Desi's really stiffened them up defensively. And all of those one percenters, you can see everyone doing that. Even just things like, their kick chase, all of that. Everyone individually is doing their job, even players coming through like Ruben Garrick who've had no experience, but I don't think it will be this year.
Okay, Wendell Saylor?
No, I don't think so. I think they've played some pretty good football so far. Fanua Blake, he's been outstanding along with Marty Tapau and the Trbojevic's, but I just don't think when push comes to shove, they can mix it with the Storm and the Raiders.
They can make the prelim final. I don't think they can win the grand final, no.
Okay, all right. Well, now we're in the top four and we know we're looking at contenders to bottom there, aren't we? With the Storm, run it, they'll win the minor premiership, obviously. The Rabbitohs, the Raiders and the Roosters. Raiders playing great brand of footy. You always play great attacking footy, but they've added that starch in defence, haven't
they? But the Rabbitohs, for me, they need Sam Burgess if they're going to...
Yeah.
They need that, you know, that real tough guy that wants to get, like, down and dirty, and he's their man, so they miss him so much.
All right, so...
With players missing, we saw... you know, the Roosters with Cooper Cronk, I mean, he still ended up playing the grand final, but how much of a difference one player makes, like Sam Burgess. Just say Cameron Smith got injured. Can the Storm win the grand final without Cameron Smith?
No, I don't think they can. Brandon Smith will be, he'll fill that hole, but no one can do what Cam Smith does.
Well, that'll never happen.
But what, he doesn't get injured a lot, but I'm just saying, what if?
He might get suspended again.
Is that
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, well, they lost that grand final, so
40-0.
Certainly did. All right, well, those top four are absolute contenders. Well, as you say, Gerd, you're right. You look at that top eight.
It'll be be a fantastic, you know, final series.
And it will be. And it'll be a great game of footy here today. The Roosters.
Wendell, I just want to know, how many sides from Queensland are in that top eight?
Ooh. Oh, here we go. We're still going about
that. No, I don't know. I can't see the table from over here. It's pointed towards you.
I can't see. Where are the Dragons, Tony?
Sterlo will join us.
You may as well go away in September.
I mean, do you really have to keep people when they're down? Saturday Triple M NRL.
Wait, the Broncos will make a charge. The Broncos.
For McDonald's, this is Triple M Footy. Triple M Footy for Ream Hot Water.
Yeah, here we are at beautiful Sydney Cricket Ground. Ryan Girdler, Emma Lawrence, Tony Squires, and we're joined for the first time today by Peter Sterling. G'day, Sterlo.
Good afternoon. No, I've just dislocated both hips. I don't stride purposefully well anymore. thanks for that. Although, I was listening to the program on the way in, Tony. You know how you can hear of coaches apparently losing the dressing room?
Yes.
You went very, very close to losing this room here.
Well, I thought
there was going to be a mutiny.
With the game or which time?
No, just with the personalities that you're sitting alongside. They turned on you.
He lost us 5 years ago, Pete.
I just keep finding them again. That's the problem. Speaking of losing the dressing room, I just want to pick your brain a little bit. You know, and I hate to be, you know, I'm the Dragon supporter, but I watched last night. It seems to me, and I said it at the top of the show, it seems to me that Penrith copped it, Ivan Cleary copped it, obviously Garth Brennan copped it, and, you know, big time. The Dragons have kind of flown under the radar, but their performance this year, and particularly that second half last night, is really, really poor and hard to explain. Now, there are some... I know that Paul McGregor, who is a terrific bloke, he says he's got the team he wanted. There were so many issues. The Jack DeBellin thing obviously was unsettling for them. But that is classic underperformance from that club.
Yeah, it's difficult to work out when you consider the wealth of talent they have there. They had a big state of origin representation, so there's obviously, you know, talent throughout their squad. But, you know, the Jack DeBellin stuff, we don't quite know how much of an impact that has had. But losing Gareth Widdop, who I think has been their best player for a couple of seasons early on, didn't help. James Graham's been out since round 11. And so, you know, he probably hasn't had his best side on the paddock. But they are the worst defensive team in the competition. There is no excuse for that.
Yep.
You know, you don't play finals football unless you are, you know, an excellent defensive football team. In fact, the first four sides... at the end of the 25 rounds, they'll be the best four defensive teams in the comp. So that's where the Dragons have let themselves down. And they really had an opportunity in the second half last night. But they did well to be as close at halftime as what they what they did, because Penrith threw plenty at them. And if I said last night at halftime, if you took out the tries and you showed a replay, you'd say, oh, well, that black team's a mile in front. And they weren't. So, you know, they had a great opportunity in the second 40 and they never really looked like, you know, getting away with that game, which was, you know, it was a must-win. There's no doubt about that.
All right, I want to talk more about that, but right now we are joined by the Knights coach, Nathan Brown. Brownie, g'day.
How are you going?
Very, very well. How's it sitting out there in the beautiful Sydney Cricket Ground? Beautiful sunny afternoon. Good day for footy.
Yeah, great day for footy. It's been a long time since I've been here for a game of football, but All the memories here are good as a kid watching on TV and watching them real old blokes like Sturlow on that wing grand finals all those years ago.
Yeah, well, stop trying to look like me.
I'm trying to look like Nathan Ryan, our media bloke.
Apparently I'm ageing, but I think... correct me if I'm wrong, aren't we all?
Well, I think we might. Hey,
isn't it better than the alternative?
As I said to my wife, it's much better than the alternative, Phil.
Mate, what about your players coming to the Sydney Cricket Ground?
Yeah, well, a lot of the younger ones today, Stella, aren't really across the history. You know, like my generation, I suppose, we grew up, you know, there was limited football on TV, but what was on TV was the grand finals in the early 80s, mid-80s, early 90s. You know, it was all cricket ground. So the history of the cricket ground, obviously, you know, Donald Brabham was still someone that was spoke about in cricket as well, where now the next generation, you know, there's different stadiums. And if you go to cricket, there's about 1,000 forms of it. So there's that many cricketers that people look up to as well now.
Brownie, what do you expect? Obviously, the Roosters come into this one like you guys. You know, tough origin period. Roosters only, they've won 2 from their last 7. So, you know, probably not the best time to get them, although you guys did a pretty good job on them up there in Newcastle a few weeks ago.
Yeah, we sort of went through a little period where we had some good stability in our squad and we got to pick, I suppose, some similar players, which was important for us with so many new players. In the last sort of 5 weeks, we've had so many positional changes in key positions, not through form or coaches not happy with what's happening, just more through origin and injury, you know. So for us, we've certainly put, I'd say, you know, the best sort of stable side we've put out for a while, where we've got blokes playing in their preferred positions, or anyway, positions which seem to suit our club best. And likewise for the Roosters, you know, they've actually got their fullback back at fullback, their halfback back at halfback, and 5'8 at 5'8 and hooker at hooker. So both sides are probably a little bit similar there, but, you know, we need to sort of... We were a bit flat last week, and, you know, probably a big learning for us as a club moving forward is when we are a little bit off, we just need to learn to get our attention to detail a little bit better, because, you know, when we're a bit off, we can be a bit off in both areas, you know, with our offence and defence. But you need to be able to certainly hang your hat in some areas when you're a little bit flat.
Well, it goes without saying, Brownie, that one of those players back in the side that will boost you is Kalyn Ponga. What's the best thing that he adds?
Oh, look, well, obviously, without stating the obvious, he certainly adds a lot of class, you know, and he's a player that can, you know, if a game's tied or you're a fraction ahead, he can come up with a play that a lot of, you know, most normal people can't do, which gets you some comfortables. But they also, you know, in Kalyn's case and a lot of those types of players, they help other people look good. And, you know, so a player that might be a handy player can be made look like a good player, or a good player can look real good, and they just bring confidence to the rest of the group. And, you know, moving Kalyn back to fullback, I think, you know, he's the way he plays the game back there and the way he plays as a ball player in the front line for us doesn't change much. But I think the playing group, when the ball's going back to him, I think they certainly have a lot of confidence, both in offence and defence, when he's there. And, you know, there's nothing like players giving other players confidence.
Yeah, Brownie, it seems the loss of Edric Lee, to me, had a bit of a significant effect in the domino effect it had with your selection. Kurt Mann at 5'8", he looks like your number six, your preferred number six from here on in.
Yeah, Kurt's definitely our preferred number six, Sturlo. He sort of worked that out over a little bit of a period of time. He's... again, probably the next fullback, I suppose, a little bit more fullback / 5'8". But his catch and pass is very competent, good defensive player. He can kick reasonably well, and he's got reasonable speed as well. So we're hopeful that Kurt can, hopefully for his sake, stay in that one spot, you know, depending on injuries, and he can actually work on his game, because, you know, he's pretty much his last sort of 3 or 4 years, he's played wing, centre, lock, 5'8", fullback, hooker. And so we sort of found, when we sort of said to him, mate, we'll give you a good shot at 5'8", he certainly got the job done really well for us. But then, unfortunately, with what's happened with our squad, he's played 3 positions in 4 weeks, which has not helping his game develop at all, or helping develop combos with us.
Will your big forwards be saying a little personal hello to Jared Waria-Hargreaves early in the game?
Oh, look, we'd hope so. You know, he's obviously, you know, Jared, you know, his form in the early part of his career was outstanding, and he had his bad knee injury and struggled to get back for it. Then his past 18 months, I think it's probably been a little bit understated what he's brought to the Roosters, getting back to his best form. And, you know, when the Roosters are playing really well in that up-tempo, high-energy football, you know, a lot of it is generally based around Jared. So if we're to do a good job on the Roosters night, we certainly need to be saying hello to Jared, if that's how you like to put it.
And will you be watching from down there on the beautiful sideline, or up in the box?
I'll give the box a shot and see how we go. So a bit of a different sort of type of setup here at the cricket ground, but it's a great place to be.
All right, mate. Thank you so much for giving us your time and having a chat. Good
luck. Thanks, guys.
There is Nathan Brown.
What is reasonably noted, noticeable, just having a look at the players warm up, is how hard the ground is and how much the ball is bouncing.
Yep.
Now, the kickers out there, especially, you know, looking to get one in goal, are going to be really careful because they just seem to keep accelerating here, and to get it in goal and keep the pressure on is, you know, you're going to have to sort of err on the side of caution. Maybe aim for the try line instead of anything else, but it just bounces so much here.
It's a good picture. If anywhere nearby the Sydney Cricket Ground, drop in. It should be a great game of footy kicking off at 3 o'clock. We'll look at it in more detail and continue to pick Peter Serling's brain right here on Saturday Triple M NRL. Saturday Triple M NRL, Ryan Gerler, Peter Serling, Emma Lawrence, Tony Squires with you. Roosters Knights kickoff not far away now, just 22 minutes, both sides out here at the SCG warming up. We'll get to a more detailed breakdown of that game in just a moment. We were talking before about the Dragons, Pete. The notion when you need to win a game, as they did last night against Penrith, the resting of Ben Hunt, we had a quick chat about it earlier. What are your thoughts? If you're that player, do you say, nah, I'm playing?
Well, I don't know whether Paul McGregor gave him an opportunity to say that or whether he just made the decision. I guess the question to be asked is, why wasn't he rested the week earlier coming out? But obviously from that game, you know, he went through a really tough Origin period. I thought he was wonderful, Ben Hunt, for Queensland. He played a lot of minutes. He played in the middle. So you can understand that there would be, both a physical and a mental toll. So I'm not surprised that he was rested. And obviously, you know, Craig Bellamy has taken the luxury of resting all but one of his players, Dale Finucane, this weekend. So, you know, you can understand. For Paul McGregor, it was an investment in Ben Hunt for later in the regular rounds. But they had to win last night to justify it.
Yep.
And that's where, if they'd won last night, we'd have all been saying, well, you know, job well done, and now Ben Hunt's had a week off, he's going to come back, and they're going to be so much better for that. But they didn't get the result, so in the end, it's a decision that they may rue, but as Paul McGregor said, he didn't have a choice because all he was looking at was the welfare of the player, and if that was the motivation to it, it's hard to argue.
What about the controversies, the shoulder charge, the Matt Dufty, and of course, Viliami Kikau looks like he will miss out in what would be a great game next week against Canberra.
Yeah, I thought he was very unfortunate. You know, I didn't see too much wrong with that. And I understand the stance we've made in protecting our ball players, and we all called for that, so we don't want to be hypocrites and come out and then say, when it's dust, to be officiated along those lines. We don't want to say, well, hang on, we've gone overboard here. But I thought that was a very, very harsh decision. As in the inverted commas shoulder charge, as I said last night, if I'm one of Matt Dufty's teammates, I'm filthy with him if he doesn't do it. You know, he didn't have many alternatives there. And my understanding with the shoulder charge was that was to basically take care of those front on tackles where there's a whiplash involved and, you know, you can do some real damage. There was no danger of any capacity in regards to the ball carrier last night. You know, coming across like that, you know, all he could do was save the try in the manner that he did, and he was never going to, you know, collect the guy around the head with a shoulder charge. That was going to be a problem. So I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. You know, theoretically, and I guess, you know, in the rule book now, it is a shoulder charge and should have been dealt with that way. But I guess I see it from the other side as well, that in a try-scoring situation, I want him to do it. I need him to do it.
All right, before we get into this game, it'll be getting willing, I would imagine, this afternoon into this evening at GIO Stadium, Canberra, where the Raiders take on the Tigers. 30 years after that amazing grand final in 1989 that Canberra, Steve Jackson, wearing the number 20, scored that amazing try, which has changed his life. He spoke about it last night at the Hall of Fame dinner and talking about it's got him a lot of free feeds.
And having a look at him, he's utilised that. Well, I'm really keen to see how many of the 89 side back up to the actual game.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, the boys, they would have enjoyed.
They were. I was there. They were enjoying it. But then the great thing was that they invited a couple of the Tigers down to have a chat too. So Ciro was there.
Was Blocker there?
No, Blocker wasn't there. It was just Ciro was there, and Timmy Brasher were both there. Who was a kid? I think he was just come out of school when he played earlier in the year.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and both of them, Timmy Brasher said he was keeping it relatively quiet because he was saving it for today. So it's a whole weekend affair.
Well, Brasher was relatively quiet because they were showing the game up on the screen, and he's like all the Belmont players. They refuse to watch it, so you've got no choice but to be quiet. I'm a little bit. Well, I'm. I'm a person who this year believes that you have to finish top four to win a game. Yep. I know that you guys are talking about chances of sides. You know, to me, to have a look, the Melbourne side have been good enough to put themselves 6 points clear. The Roosters and the Rabbitohs had really relatively poor origin periods, yet they still sit comfortably second, like up in the top four. So to me, that shows how far they are ahead of the rest of the field. And Canberra this year are, if they can finish top four, they can win it. You know, they've defensively, they are so much better this year, and they've got plenty of attack in that side, and Josh Hodgson is their Cameron Smith. So I think you have to finish top four, and I think Canberra can do that, and I think that I don't think the competition would be won outside of those four places.
Yeah, I there's no sense of overconfidence in the Canberra camp, but certainly permeating last night was a sense of belief that they have a footy team that can really get something done. That comes from a lot of the old guys who have been there, but certainly also from Ricky and the team themselves.
Well, they've won close games this year, which they failed to do, and they haven't lost their way during the course of games when they've had the ascendancy anywhere near. And all of that comes back to is reflected in your defence. And that's been a big improvement in them. You know, like the Canberras in the past, they could score 24, but they could concede 26, and you still get beat.
Yep.
And they did. They won a big chunk of games too with Josh Hodgson injured. So it just goes to show the depth they've got this year as well.
Yeah, Havili did a great job there. And the English, John Bateman's been something of a revelation. He's been fantastic for them. And, they haven't really missed Leilua as much as maybe we thought they would have done with the football. A guy like Simonson has been tremendous for them. So.
Yeah. The call that Ricky got right, and it was a brave one at the start of the year, was moving Whiten out of the one position and Nickel Klokstad's been an absolute revelation.
Exactly, amazing. Exactly,
I mean, he's on 100 and something grand. I mean, his next deal will be five or six times worth that. He is a quality player, and that's allowed Jack to go into an unfamiliar role and excel and take him on to representative levels as well. So, yeah, some smart calls by Ricky at the start of the year.
No doubt.
Still warming up here on the SCG. We'll come back and have a look at this game. It should be a beauty. The Roosters and the Knights.
The McDonald's Triple M Footy.
Here we are, just 12 minutes away from kickoff at the Sydney Cricket Ground. A beautiful day in Sydney. It's one of those days. Sadly, there was no games before the NRL game. Back in the day, of course, you had the under-23s, the reserve grade, then the first grade. But just that one game to look forward to. The crowd, though, is starting to build up here at the SCG. If you're nearby, as I said, it looks like it should be a great game of rugby league. Let's have a little closer look at it then. As we heard from Nathan Brown, he talked about his opponents, and certainly that spine is back together. Hasn't been together since round one. James Tedesco at fullback comes in. Of course, Luke Keary and Cooper Cronk in the halves, and Jake Friend at the number nine. That is key, isn't it, for the Roosters? Sterling.
Yeah, and they came off a pretty poor performance last week, and good sides tend to react to those kind of performances, and I expect the Roosters to be much better today. And I guess we go back to their first clash this year, and that was where we probably became believers with the Newcastle Knights. I know Cronk was mentioned was rested for that game, and they lost Luke Keary early on, but Newcastle have grown in stature from then, and I think they see this as kind of a line in the sand game as to where they actually are. I wasn't that disappointed when they got belted by Melbourne a few weeks back. They showed some great resilience and resolve in the first half when Melbourne just pounded and pounded them, and I thought there's no way Melbourne will beat them by that score again later on. And, I expect this afternoon for Newcastle, after a little bit of a flat spot, to be much better. It shapes as the game of the weekend, really.
Gertz, what are you looking forward to?
I think watching the I love watching the Roosters when they click into gear, and some of their early season form was just brilliant to sit back and observe. But obviously they haven't been able to connect through that middle part of the season. So looking forward to having all those players back on deck and seeing Radley back in the middle as opposed to dummy half. I think we lose a lot of what he's about with some of his ball playing one or two off the ruck and some of his defensive work that he can do there in the middle when he's not at dummy half. So always love watching the two fullbacks, two of the best in the competition, obviously, going head-to-head. That'll be something to watch. And also the number sevens, Cooper Cronk versus Mitchell Pearce. And obviously Mitchell's long long-standing relationship with the Roosters. Now with the Knights, there'll be a little bit in it from him, and Cooper took his spot, so there's no love lost there.
The try he scored the last time they played, and he kissed the Newcastle Knights emblem. It will be interesting to see if there's as much feeling in it this time. And a disappointing game for the Knights when Mitch backed up from Origin, so he'll obviously want to be bouncing back.
I reckon there'll be a photo of that M plastered around the Roosters dressing room of that moment, just as a reminder. I think for the Roosters, it's significant that Jake Friend comes back in now for the run into finals. That, you know, that does allow Radley to go back to that better position. And Friend has a great influence through this side, so I think that's key as well. But I like the hooker rotation for Newcastle.
It looks good. Let's get it. Triple M rocks the footy.
For Ream Hot Water, Triple M Footy.